knowledge fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
My bright spot, I guess, is I'm feeling the desire to be a little more open.
Sure.
And so I'm giving social media a bit of a try.
Mm.
I tweeted about our last episode. I've been using Instagram a little bit. That is library_fight on Instagram. I had sort of a revelation that, like, I hate a lot of the stuff that goes on social media. A bunch of people are fighting about nothing, and there's so much distraction and stuff like that. And I resist being involved in social media because I don't want to do any of that.
Right.
And I realize that I can engage to the extent I want to. I don't have to be sucked into those things.
It is true.
I will maybe observe them to some extent, mm-hmm. but, you know, you can just keep moving. And by just saying I'm not going to be around here because I don't want to engage with this bullshit,
sure.
I have essentially ruined the possibility of every positive interaction or positive encounter that could be had.
There is consequences for that choice. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I'm doing that. You can check me out on Instagram. And that brings me to what the bright spot could or could not be.
What's that?
And that is, I tweeted, I grammed.
Oh, boy. Oh, no. Now we got to figure out all these words again.
Shit.
I hadn't had to deal with any of those words for so long.
Yeah, I won't belabor you with it too much. But the point is, I put out on Instagram that I found a new Dorito earlier today.
Okay.
Have you heard about this Dorito?
No, I have not heard about this Dorito.
You haven't heard the big Dorito news?
I have not heard the new Dorito news.
So they came out with a new flavor called Spicy Pineapple Jalapeno, which sounds really good.
That sounds really good.
Yeah.
Spicy jalapeno pineapple is actually one of the few spices profile that mm-hmm. That works
for
me.
That combination does wonders.
Yeah.
Pineapple and a spicy.
Yeah.
They go well together.
They do.
And so I thought, hey, well done, Dorito.
How'd the chip go?
Not good.
Not good?
They suck.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I think it's tough to put pineapple in powder form.
I was literally just thinking, like, yeah, you know, I imagine dusting a pineapple flavor is a weird thing to try and create.
I think when things are supposed to be juicy and then you try and make it a dust, something goes wrong in the process.
I mean, I think the part of that is the dust part. I think juice and dust are fundamentally not the same thing.
Yeah.
And can never be.
And something about the process of going from one to the other. Yeah, that's
removing the juice.
Yeah, that's a mess. So once again, I've been burned by Doritos.
Once again.
Ah.
They're going to get you.
Hope springs eternal, I will try the next one. I realized also I haven't tried their Tapatio. They have a Tapatio one, and I like Tapatio. It's a good
you
sauce.
Have to,
it's
you
a
have to
sauce.
Wait long enough for us to have the exact same conversation that we had about Cool Ranch and such the last time we did this. The exact, like, word for word, the exact, we don't remember it, and then we'll play it again for people.
Look, here's the thing. It's got to be tough when you nail it on your first try. just remember what we said then, and I'll say it
still
again.
Still applies now.
I think that the public opinion is pretty positive of this.
Interesting.
I've seen some tweets in favor of, and having nothing to do with me. Like, I didn't post about it. Hey, what are your feelings about it?
Right.
I've just randomly seen a couple of positive endorsements.
Sure, sure.
And so I don't want to offend anybody, but I think it sucks.
Can't trust positive endorsements on the internet.
No.
They pay for those.
Yeah, it's probably Old Man Dorito sitting there behind a keyboard.
Old Man Dorito is my new favorite person on the planet.
Yeah.
He's the guy who invented the Cool Ranch.
Yeah.
He was the first one.
Yeah. And he's wearing like a Hawaiian shirt.
Sure, sure.
Cool Ranch. Hang loose.
Yeah.
On a skateboard, even though he's stationary somehow.
What is a young whippersnapper trying to do that's driving Old Man Dorito crazy? Keep making up these shitty flavors.
Yeah, I'd be
it's like an old prospector character.
Get out of my chip factory.
He's actually going to be wearing a mask and haunting a Dorito factory until a bunch of intrepid children come up and...
I had a great idea.
It was Old Man Dorito the whole time.
Next Dorito flavor they should try.
Uh-huh.
Jardinera. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's your bright spot?
My bright spot is One Piece.
I've seen that name.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
Right.
I think it's a band.
No. No, it's fun. What's fun about it is One Piece is like a classic manga.
Oh, okay.
Of like it's like those 1920s serialized boy adventures as a pirate. And it's super over the top campy, and it is what it is, you know?
Sure.
It's all that fun stuff. And Netflix made a live action remake of it for some reason. And my wife was looking for something to watch, and I was like, oh, you know, Netflix made that. And she's like, I don't want any of that anime shit, right? And then yesterday, she was like, what's One Piece? And I was like, that was the thing that, remember anime shit? And she was like, nah, I think I'm going to like this. She loves it. Loves it.
Day to day with
day
this
to day.
Stuff.
Absolute insanity.
Yeah.
Absolute anime shit left and right, but it's good. Like as far as the live action anime adaptation goes, it's very good.
Did you like the old one? Were you a fan of the old one?
I've never been a fan of any of it. Like I've never even seen. I know it exists because I live in the world where you can't miss One Piece.
But you also like a lot of other things like it.
Yeah, I like adjacent stuff.
Yeah.
So I know about it, but I'm not a pirate guy. That's just not my thing.
What about Pippi Longstocking?
I'm more of a Heidi.
Was Pippi was a pirate, right? She was a pirate for part of the time.
Pippi was she a pirate?
I think so.
I don't recall.
Very vague memories about the plot of Pippi. She was really strong, right?
I thought she was, wait, is she the one who was strong or the one who was plain?
No, she's not plain. She's the redhead who's really cantankerous.
Right.
And she'd get up to mischief.
She could fight people.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, she threw a swing at somebody.
I think she's really strong.
Oh, man. What are we doing?
I don't know.
I don't understand. Where
I was about to bring up Baron
Dorito,
Munchausen.
We're Dorito talking. We're fucking Pippi Longstocking. Let's get out of here.
Hey, did you, you like Asterix and Obelix? Obelisk? I would bring up all the great adventures of Tintin if I had not realized later in life how racist those books are.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with those.
Woo!
Just leave those in the past.
Yeah. Real shocking that those were like something that my dad had a ton of growing up.
Yeah.
Like we were raised on some Tintin.
I think the extent to which everyone was racist in the past.
No, but this is comically racist.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
Everybody was just, it was unspoken. Mm-hmm. You know, you weren't actively racist because everybody was just so racist around you all the time. You didn't even have to think about it.
Do yourselves a favor and never read any of the Tintin ones where he like goes to America, Africa, or has any involvement with Asian characters.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
Because it's a mess.
Yeah. No, just go read Rudyard Kipling's A White Man's Burden.
You might as well. So, Jordan, today we have an episode to go over. It's going to be a little bit of a short one, I think, because this we're just checking in on Sunday's episode. We were going to take this Wednesday off.
Sure.
We have a little breaky, but it turns out that on Sunday, Marjorie Taylor Greene was on InfoWars.
Oh, great.
And so there was a lot of clamoring about it, and public demand insisted that we needed to talk about it.
Gotta talk about it.
And before we dive into this, I do want to say, like, we just did that episode about Joe Biggs calling in from prison.
Yeah.
And I noticed that every headline about it, every tweet about it was like, he thinks that Trump is going to pardon him if Trump wins. And we didn't even talk about that. But I mean, I heard it in the interview, but it didn't matter.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I just thought, like, yeah, of course he does.
Yeah.
He pardoned Roger. Of course.
Of course,
I would expect that too if I was part of a paramilitary street gang.
I don't understand why this is a thought that we need to speak out loud. Like,
that was the lead on all of the stories about it, was that he thinks. And I can't imagine why that is the case. Maybe people didn't listen to the whole interview, or maybe like it's because it gives the story some adjacency to the 2024 election.
Probably what they're looking for.
Yeah, so maybe that's like a way to give it a hook.
Yeah.
But yeah, we didn't even mention it. I felt weird about that in hindsight.
I just feel like it's obvious that if Trump wins the presidency, then everybody at J6 is pardoned. That just seems fair.
Speaking of which, breaking news, literally as we're recording, like 5 minutes ago,
Tario, sentenced for 500 years.
That's your guess? Do you want to give me an actual guess?
I'll go with this, same sentence, 17 years.
22.
22? What did he do?
He got an extra five. He got an extra nickel.
What was 5 years more than he did?
Because I think it was like maybe, I have not read up on this because it just happened, but like I think it's probably because of his like higher leadership role. Like, he was the head of the Proud Boys.
Sure, sure.
And so, you know, you're the leader of the conspiracy, essentially.
Right.
So I think that might have had something to with it.
Okay.
As I understand it, too, like I said, I have not looked into this fully, but apparently he was like, I don't want to do this shit anymore. I am not proud.
I'm not a boy. I am a man who is very sad.
But we'll find out. We'll talk some more about this probably for Friday's episode because he's due to be on InfoWars.
Oh, of course he is.
That was another thing that happened during the Joe Biggs interview. He was hanging out with Tario in prison.
Of course, they were in prison together.
And they booked an interview.
Sure. That is very similar to the Bells and Christopher Walken situation, although it was in prison instead.
True. True.
Slightly different.
And Stuart Rhodes isn't in the same cell, so still not being able to book that guy.
Yep, not happening.
Anyway, we'll get down to business on this Sunday episode, which is September 3rd. Mm-hmm. But before we do, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, please welcome the worst of all possible infants, Lucas James, to the world. Now, I'm the worst of all possible dads. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, N-I-E-L. Pronounced Neil, and Alex, who thinks it's trendy and liberal to freeload off our hardworking patriots. Also, the Whopper shrinkflation lawsuit is a plot by the globalists to take down the baseline hamburger. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, listening to Knowledge Fight means frequently having to say you're sorry. I'm apology wonk. That's pretty good. How is it 7 years in? I think that's the first time I've heard
apology wonk. Yeah,
you're a wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Next, Alex's CIA dentist dad told me the first rule of Bite Club. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
You know the first rule of Bite Club?
Don't talk about Bite
Chop.
Club.
Next, Daryl in Illinois. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
You all right?
I'm sorry. I just wasn't ready for it.
Yeah.
I wasn't.
And we had one more wonk here. Robert with two B's. Robert. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And we got a technocrat, Jordan. So thank you so much to look upon my wonks, ye mighty and despair. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
4 stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent.
He's a loser little titty baby.
I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much.
I will say that a lot of Marjorie Taylor Greene's appearance, MTG, a lot of that has to do with a lot of shit that she's talking about impeaching Biden.
Right.
And I don't know if we're even going to talk about any of that. But yeah, I am going to make a point that she says she's going to do that, like she has said since she got elected.
I mean, yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
I'm fine. I mean, yeah.
I mean, see what happens.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, go for it.
Waste the government's time.
Go for it.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm done with all of you.
So Alex announces that she's going to be on, and then he says some magic words that always get me excited.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Not those.
Is here in Texas. And she's going to be in studio with us coming up in the second hour tonight, ahead of Owen Schroyer hosting Sunday Live, 6 to 8 p.m. She'll be on in the 5 o'clock hour with us to talk about the inside baseball on the move to begin the impeachment of the globalist puppet that stole the election, O'Biden. We'll also talk about the Trump indictments and so much more with the amazing Congresswoman. Is having a big effect in Congress and a big effect against the globalists. So she'll be joining us. In the meantime, boy, I've overprepared. I mean, I could talk for 10 hours about what we got here, but I'm going to try my best in this first hour to get to a lot of it.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Oh, boy.
I always love to hear when he's overprepared, because that means nothing is going to happen.
Whoops, overprepared today. Sorry. Sorry, folks. Absolutely no show today. I will be rambling.
Yeah, I've overprepared is code for I got nothing.
I got nothing.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I think that if you're a beginning poker player,
yeah,
you think that making a large bet is always going to signal strength to an opponent.
I'm a big bet
guy. And so when you're bluffing, a lot of times you might make the mistake of like going all in. And thinking like, oh, this guy's serious. Everyone will think that you're serious.
I'm intimidating.
I think that Alex is stuck in that phase. He doesn't realize that people can see through this bluff, that you have nothing.
I mean, in a way, all right, the way that he is using the word overprepared, all right, that is to say that there is a correct level of preparedness.
Yeah.
And being over or under are equally debilitating.
They're unideal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, in essence, over and under preparation are the same thing.
Well, and, I mean, let's break the word down. In some ways...
let's break the word down.
In some ways, Alex is over-preparing.
Yeah. He's
for years,
over
he's been
he's
over,
been
over it.
He's been over it for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, he's winning his court cases, which he's not.
No.
But the bankruptcy's going great, but he needs your money.
Yeah.
How we fight the globalists is exposing their operations, and the way we get around the censors is you deciding by word of mouth to promote the broadcast, and you're doing a great job. I want to salute you and thank you all for your support and everything you do, and you know who you are, especially those that have gone to defendjones.com and made donations to my legal defense fund. We're winning these cases. We're appealing these cases. We're navigating the bankruptcy. We have a 9% shot at staying on air. Conservatively, it's more like 95% on InfoWars. They're going to stop you being on air, period. If you donate. So thank you all for your support at defendjones.com. You know who you are. And we've already almost reached 10% of our goal. That is amazing because I am out of financial bullets. I've spent everything I've had fighting these people. Sold my house, sold everything, and you kept us on air the last few years. But now it's truly all up to you, ladies and gentlemen.
So yeah, I was thinking about it, and I think that the $1 million that he needs to raise,
yeah.
I think that might be partially about like making an appeal bond, because you need to put a bond down to file an appeal in a case like his.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think he can afford that bond.
Right.
So I think in order to appeal, he would need a massive money.
Oh, my God.
I think that, as I understand it, I believe that that is a concern and one of the reasons why there aren't appeals filed at the moment.
It's because he can't afford it.
And he would lose them.
Well, I mean, he would definitely lose them.
Yes.
And he can't take the bankruptcy court's money to then appeal the bankruptcy court.
Probably not.
Yeah. They wouldn't like that.
Yeah, so that's tough.
Yeah.
Also, you know, I think, I'm pretty sure we've talked about this, but he didn't sell his house to fund InfoWars.
You know what I kept thinking, like, when he said that, I was like back in the trial just being like, Mr. Jones, you have been told many times that you cannot imply that you have done this things that you are saying. You know, like I just like it happened all over again. Like, I've given everything to this. Mr. Jones, we know for a fact that.
Yeah. He sold one of his houses. Yeah. He still has a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, he doesn't like the audience knowing that because it would puncture the illusion that he is on the brink of being completely, you know, like living in inside a barrel.
Yeah.
Like with suspenders.
Yeah. Yeah. It's disgusting. I mean, it's a little bit like Joel Osteen still claiming to have any connection to God. If you have a private jet, get the fuck out of here. Come on. Get the fuck out of here.
What about Wonder Woman?
Is that private? It's invisible. I don't know if that's private.
I've seen it. It's pretty small.
It's publicly funded, from what I understand of the Justice League in current canon.
That's interesting. I had not thought about whether or not they're on the payroll of the government.
They are a public service. Are they not?
But I don't think you could fit too many people in that jet,
I'm
saying.
That's true.
And, And when I said I've seen it, I technically haven't seen it because it's invisible. So Alex has done a bunch of research.
Yeah.
Over-prepared.
Sure.
I just happened to run in today. I did about 5 hours of research at the house.
Exactly five.
Just on Twitter alone, just looking at video clips of the globalists and their statements.
Researching
They're making
is
so many clear. Depopulation statements and so many you will eat the bug statements and so many we're going to put chips in you statements and so many pedophilia is good statements. And I can't even keep track of it.
Yeah, so there's a lot of you're going to eat the bugs statements. A
lot of you're going to eat the bugs.
This is such a great clip for understanding Alex. Cruising Twitter for 5 hours is research.
Did so much research.
Yeah. He
overprepared.
Yeah, he looked around at the shithead idiots that he hangs out with, saw the little out of context clips and bullshit memes they posted, and he called it research.
Yeah.
That's good.
So what you're saying is, all right, I told these people a thing, and then I went to the enclosed space wherein those people tell me that there is a thing, and then I go back out and I say, I see so many people telling me the things that I tell them.
Yep.
Yep.
So I think that's a bad process.
It's usually a bad process.
It doesn't get you anywhere.
Learning.
So, like I said, Marjorie Taylor Greene's appearance is mostly about nonsense about impeaching Biden.
Right.
And then Alex's first hour is heavily about his belief that they're about to kill Trump. And also, what do you know, they're going to kill Biden, too.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I'd be interested in a double whammy scenario. Let's see what happens.
In terms of like a narrative in a movie or something, I'm interested in that as a plot device.
Double whammy sounds interesting.
In the real world, I'm not, because the chaos that it would be involved. And a lot of people would get hurt. But anyway, Alex is just preoccupied with this. And of course, you know that the reason is because there are Nazis protesting in the streets now.
They've hit the panic alarm, the DNC has, and said, look, Trump is unstoppable, basically. Everything we do blows up in our face. He's got a powerful political movement, Donna Brazile said, which we don't need her to tell us that. We are knowing. And we're basically out of bullets, political bullets. That's why I said the real bullets come next. And I don't say that to be dramatic. It's an easy arc, an easy graph, like Tucker Carlson said. They're going to kill
him. He's still around?
They're going to try. And that's where the ADL comes in and the Southern Poverty Law Center and these people and these Nazi groups that they've turned on everywhere that, I mean, are 100. Everybody's, I mean, literally 99% of comments on Instagram, Twitter. I spent like an hour on this today. No one is buying that these are quote, real Nazis. I mean, these are feds.
Oh, really? All the people that you associate with and the comments on their posts, they all think this is a false flag? What a shock.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
All of your very sympathetic to Nazi ideas community think that Nazis are all feds? Sure.
I mean, the thing that gets me is eventually, don't you have to be like, aha, that's not us. We don't act like that. We're not those kinds of Nazis. And then you're like, oh, but you are Nazis. By knowing what you don't do, you are admitting you are a Nazi by virtue of doing the thing that you do.
sure, there's a strange no true Scotsman thing going on here. In terms of, like, these Nazis that are protesting can't be real Nazis because they're out protesting.
Exactly.
They were put there by the ADL in order to make it look like there's Nazis protesting, in order to create a boogeyman that will then be blamed for the assassination of Trump, and then they can use that to crack down on the right wing, like me, little old poor Alex, who had to sell his house to fight the Nazis.
It just so happens that a day before I'm complaining about that, I told all of you to get out in the streets and protest and cause all kinds of hell.
Yeah.
And now today, you're all a bunch of feds.
And I weirdly have talking points that mirror all of these groups and have functional overlap.
So strange.
So strange.
Yeah.
So this next clip, Alex talks about some of these Nazis. So, you know, there was that that shooting in Florida at the Dollar Tree, that racist mass shooting.
Yeah.
And so then in Florida, a couple days after, I believe, there were those Nazis that everyone on the right is saying were
fake.
Yeah.
False Nazis.
Yeah. And so Alex is talking about those Nazis who are protesting.
Right.
He doesn't have great words for them.
No one is buying that these are quote, real Nazis. I mean, these are feds within groups of prisoners. These are white prison gang trash, just like there's black prison gang trash, Hispanic prison gang trash. These are white prison gang trash. And then one of them is a Ukrainian commando Nazi leader who fights in Ukraine and they admit works for the CIA. Yeah, there he is.
What?
Let me tell you something. These people are dangerous as hell. And when they kill Biden, because they're going to kill him too, in my view. And I'm saying, I think they're going to kill Biden and Trump. I'm just, let's just, I just got to go with what I see. And we can stop it, hopefully. But I think Biden and Trump are both dead. And I'm going to tell you more about that when I come back. And it's going to be, I mean, I know when I look at something, I'm going to have to study it. And I just get this chill up my spine.
When I cruise Twitter.
I mean, I'll say it. It's feds leading prisoners and MKUltra, and their currency is that these people, most of them are felons, and so they're being controlled by their probation officers to do this. They're getting ready to set them up.
Yeah. So that's the conspiracy. The probation officers are saying you're going to go back to prison unless you pretend to be a Nazi and then get blamed for killing the president.
Right.
That doesn't seem like a great arrangement.
So there's a Ukrainian military guy.
Who's a Nazi.
Who is, instead of fighting for the survival of his country and people and everybody he knows, has come to Florida to protest falsely?
Well, I don't know who this... I don't know any... Like, the CIA stuff. I don't know about this. I don't know about any of this. But I would say... It's entirely possible that a Nazi from Ukraine is friends with some Nazi groups in America.
That's very possible.
And you would likely see them protesting together were he on be in town.
Yeah.
I don't know. If it is a Ukrainian Nazi dude, then it kind of actually hurts Alex's argument that these are fake Nazis. Because that would be a real
super
Nazi.
Real, that's a real Nazi.
Yeah.
That's a very real Nazi.
Yeah. So, like, if these people are, as Alex calls them, because I don't really feel great about this terminology, but white prison gang trash, wouldn't that mean that they are actually Nazis? Like, it doesn't invalidate your Nazism because you came to it while you were in prison. Choices that you make about who you are and what you believe can be valid even if you're incarcerated when you made them. Like how Alex insists that Roger found God in the depths of his legal struggles.
Yeah.
He wouldn't say that Roger isn't a Christian but is in fact white prison trash, would he? Like, that's not... You wouldn't do that.
Doubtful.
So there, like I said, there was that mass shooting in Florida last week where a guy with a swastika on his rifle went into a Dollar Tree and killed three black people. And this dude had a history that clearly indicated that he wanted to kill black people. In the aftermath of that, neo-Nazi groups held a demonstration in another city in Florida, which I guess was their attempt to keep the momentum going. And now Alex is running cover for them.
Right.
Because all this is so precariously adjacent to the mainstream of the GOP these days, the immediate reaction from right-wing folks is to pretend that these people are feds and actors. is. This is substantially easier than wrestling with what your political activity has supported and is running cover for. This will never not be the accusation that shitheads make in the future. Everyone who's inconvenient will be a fed, and any event that makes your group look bad is a false flag. Forever.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, it will never... Yeah.
Back in my day, it was interesting that people said 9/11 was a false flag because it wasn't something that was said about everything.
It really was interesting. I was like, oh, it could be. Ooh.
It stood out.
Yeah.
But now that shit is just background noise for every tragedy or act of right-wing terrorism. Like, it's just, I don't know. I think it's probably in the long term going to work against conspiracy theorists' best interests.
Right.
Their own selfish interests.
Right.
To call everything a false flag because it takes away the specialness of it.
I mean,
everything can't be fake.
It's the school shooting that did the false flags. It's what it is, you know, like, because that was the, like, either we reckon with guns or we watch children die. And we chose resoundingly, let's watch kids die. Then we had to, then our brains all broke and we had to find some way to like deal with that.
Yeah. And so, I think that there was another layer of that onion too, which was that, you know, it's really cool if you're a conspiracy theorist to go ahead and call a school shooting a false flag.
Sure.
You can run with that for a bit, maybe get some mileage out of it.
Yeah.
But they happen so much
now.
And even then.
Well, yeah, I mean, always.
So I think the regularity of these events that you need to deny and deflect from leads you to have to call almost all of these things false flags.
Yep.
Or else the whole facade falls apart.
And then there's got to be an upward limit. There's got to be an upward limit where
I think we're past it.
Everybody just has to go, like, it just can't be a false flag anymore.
That'll never happen.
It won't, but there has to be. Right? After like 7,000 false flag events, don't you have to be like, maybe we're not dealing with it? Like, I'm a three establishes a pattern myself.
Yeah.
So I get there earlier.
You can't play around or predict the behaviors of irrational people.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
It doesn't progress from rationality. So.
It sure doesn't.
So, Alex has a big news story.
Mm-hmm.
Big. Overprepared.
Yeah.
You know Alexa? The robot?
Yes.
Alexa?
Alexa.
You asked
it. I thought you said Alexo. Oh, I was
sorry.
Like, oh.
Yeah. You ask it questions and it tells you things.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Someone made a video.
Oh, no.
Asking Alexa, who's going to win the 2024 election?
Don't.
Yep.
No.
Now, I tried this myself today.
Oh, my God.
We're going to do a demonstration tomorrow on air. It's true. Let me try to reprogram it in the meantime. But Alexa is an AI system, and it's programmed by the hundreds of millions or billions, at least like a billion users. Google's like 4 billion. Apple's like 4 billion. Like, Alexa's over a billion with Amazon. The point is that you ask Alexa, as of today, Alexa, what's going to happen with the 2024 election? And it says there will be no election. And I had people at the gas station 2 days ago. I got a bunch of text messages and calls. And my wife asked me about it because her friends and people are asking her.
Stop.
And we
All
had some friends
you.
Over the house last night. They
All
were asking me
you.
About it. So the buzz is out there that there won't be a 2024 election. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm saying we're not in normal situation anymore. We're not in Kansas, as they say, anymore.
Yeah. I'm just fucking around. I'm not saying that. I'm just fucking around.
I can't do that.
No?
Nope.
How fun is it that people keep asking Alex about this?
I cannot believe that.
Yeah, so some guy posted a video of himself on TikTok pretending to ask Alexa who would win the next election, and then it said no one would win because the election would not happen because the War Powers Act would be invoked due to a war with China and Russia.
Oh, my God.
It's fake as hell.
Oh, my
But
God.
It's made the rounds in the right-wing conspiracy circle, so now Alex is reporting on it, pretending it's saying sooth. This is what he means when he said he did 5 hours of research. He watched stupid videos like this and decided they were newsworthy. And also, who gives a shit even if it is real? Are we doing Oracle of Delphi shit? Like, what's happening? Is Alexa psychic?
The implication has to be that if Alexa is saying this, it is because Alexa has been told this by its masters.
Well, that's a possibility, or I think the other way Alex is running with this is that Alexa is saying this because of the aggregate of all of the billions of people who are using it. So it's in the zeitgeist, the idea that it's not happening.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, if you watch the video, it's pretty funny. I don't have an Alexa. I don't mess with that shit.
Yeah.
I don't want a robot in my house.
Sure.
But I do know that the way that that question is answered is not how Alexa works. So
no. Very okay.
Very fake.
I just...
So Alex also definitely did not try and redo this himself.
No, I mean, I want to sit all of these people down in a room together and just go, no, you know this is not how the world works. It's not how it works. Stop believing it that it could work like this. It's not how it works.
I have big news. I was over on... I can't think of another social media thing.
Oh, man.
I was over on Instagram, and I saw a video of a Roomba who solved the JFK assassination.
Yeah, I mean, it might as well be that level of like, yeah, fine, whatever.
Gotta go, buddy. Yep. So anyway, Alex wants to play this clip.
Okay.
And it does not work well.
Hey, I'm not
Let's play the clip I just talked about with Alexa, where the man asked the machine yesterday, what's happening with 2024 election?
It's a simple request.
American.
Oop. Uh-oh.
2024 American election will not take place. There will be no winner.
That doesn't even sound like... Ugh.
All right. I'm not sure what the crew's doing with this clip. Because the clip I sent them... A, we have to bleep stuff, but B, he says it and then it says it. Can we re-download that and do that again?
No, can't.
No problem. I understand. I sent the clip today. Maybe it was not on my list. That's fine. Just a moment.
Take your time.
Yeah. This is on air.
I'll test for a few minutes. Let's play some promos or something, okay?
This is not that
all
bad.
Right, I can't play promos either.
Yep, so he goes off air till the next commercial break.
I like that. I like that.
That was like the simmering rage of Alex, as opposed to him like screaming or something. That was just like a that's the kind of like prelude to punching a hole in a wall.
Yeah. No, it is fascinating because it's like an X-Men character. Like you can physically see him holding in his anger. Like he puts his arms on his gut, just like I'm holding it in.
Yep.
I'm holding it in.
And man, if I were like a company, I would look at this and I'm like, I gotta buy ad time. This guy's a pro.
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking I might get an extra ad for every five ads I run.
You might just
because
bail.
He might just leave.
It's true. I mean, if you're looking for bulk,
yeah, you have got a good shot at getting some free ads out of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We haven't had a good one of those in a bit. Ugh. So it's nice to have a walk off.
Yeah, it is so much you could feel him like holding it.
Well, I think that's partially because of the weird noises he's making. Just a minute.
It's okay. Can't play promos either.
So Alex gets MTG in.
Oh, okay.
And
big guns.
Yeah, things smooth out a little bit. He's not so angry anymore.
Okay.
Now he's horny.
Fire all your guns at once. Well, she's firing all of her guns at once, the mighty MTG. And Texas is already 105. We don't need somebody as beautiful and amazing as her.
Oh, my God.
She clashes with the heat down here. This place is burning up now. It is so great to have you here. So great to be going to dinner tonight.
Yikes.
Wow.
So I think Alex is really miscalculating in his buddying up with MTG. I know it seems like a good idea for him because she's in office and in a pretty safe district, so she's likely going to be in office for a while unless she gets a strong primary challenge. She's a lightning rod for attention because she's an idiot troll and people fall for her attention baiting pretty regularly. So Alex naturally wants to get in on that action, but I don't think it's a good idea. I think it's because the audience hates her.
Yeah.
She sided with McCarthy during the speakership showdown. She pretended to not know Nick Fuentes. And according to the people in Alex's audience, she's not a real one.
Yeah. That's what I thought. I thought everybody was done with MTG now.
Listen to some of the comments from the interviews video on band.video.
Oh,
this is on Alex's own site.
On band.video.
Here's one. I'm just sick of hearing people talk. She's in the position to do something but still talks. Nothing but talk. Makes me sick. She's a traitor just like the rest. Another one. Women do not belong in government at all. That one's a little bit more general.
That one, yeah, that does seem fairly standard.
Yeah. Here's another one. Does she still support McCarthy? We're cursed with phony allies like MTG who betray us when they're needed the most.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes, you are.
Quote.
You choose these people.
It's not a curse, really. Quote. MTG is controlled opposition. Quote, if you just donate a little more money, she'll finally be able to impeach Joe Biden. Repeat times a billion.
Oh my God.
I used to be a fan of MTG, but she's all talk. Not falling for her lies. Just another rhino. Another one. Quote, I, as most, have zero confidence in MTG or any other repub. They're all crooks. At this point, I would welcome a nuke on DC. Whoa.
Wow. All right.
That's extreme.
That's pretty accelerationist, I would say, yeah.
So there's a few positive comments mixed in, but they're mostly thirsty weirdos.
But that was also, the nuke DC was also a positive comment in that.
but a lot of them are thirsty.
Yeah.
Like what this
oh,
one.
Oh, no.
Quote, I would let her sit on my face all day long.
All right.
Calm down, Ted 73. Too horny on Maine.
Dude, you are 50 years old. All right, come on, man. Show some decorum.
Oh, you're assuming he is born in 73?
Well, it's either that or he's 73. Or he's the 73rd of his ilk.
Could be. Yeah. Could be a long line of Teds.
I'm going to have to go with 50. I'm going to say he's 50 years old and Ted needs to get his shit together.
Teddy.
Come on, man.
So Burning Man comes up.
Sure.
And here's MTG's thoughts.
It's always what is the next thing, right? What we see from Marxism, what we see from the left is any kind of movement that can capture the masses, get them wrapped up so they put the emoji on their social media so they can share it, something they get behind, they all donate their money, they all get into the movement. We saw it happen with BLM. We saw it happen with COVID, mask, vaccines. We saw it happen with Ukraine. They tried it with monkeypox. We made fun of it, and it failed. They're trying to bring COVID
what?
Back. But I really believe the next thing is going to be this climate change crisis. They're going to create it into an emergency. And, Alex, I want to talk about Burning Man for a minute. We are watching, from a distance, there are approximately like 73 or 75,000 people in Nevada.
And they're locked in there from floods. And I'm glad, I was going to raise that. They literally did a mock sacrifice and all this, and then it flooded with these tornadoes. And it was, sorry, go ahead.
Well, you know, God has a way of making sure everyone knows who God is. I'll say that about that.
Oh, that was God?
Eh.
Burning Man's been going on since 1986, and they burn that effigy every year. So I'm not sure if God, like, he just has a 25-year grace period, or if MTG is just talking shit. I think she's talking shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's just regular old Christian, winking. That's not her actually Pat Robertsoning, you know, like, it is because of gay people that hurricanes happen.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Because that's,
but
just,
I doubt
that's fairly standard Christian talking.
I doubt the sincerity of it, like, in her heart of hearts, as they like to say. But
yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if she was making the argument that devilry brought out this natural disaster.
Yeah,
that's in her swinging range.
It is. I'm just saying the way that she said it, it reminds me of the way that when I grew up, that's how people would say that about all kinds of shit.
Sure.
You know, like, God has a way of making people know to brush their teeth. You know, it was that kind of.
But I would also argue that those people that you're talking about also mean it.
That also might be true.
Yeah, they mean it literally. They just maybe didn't want to fight about it.
I mean, yeah, but if you want to get into a literal conversation about whether or not God controls things on a day-to-day basis.
Well, the answer is always yes.
Exactly.
It has to be.
Exactly.
Anyway, let's not get bogged down.
Exactly.
The point is, the climate crisis is all fake.
I feel like she's way late to denying climate crisis. We've been doing that for my whole life. We've been denying the climate crisis since Exxon created it in the 70s.
It is true. It's strange that, like, there's a an immediacy of this as, like, Like this is what they're going to try to do next, as if people haven't been sounding the alarm about, you know, climate change for a bit.
Y'all brought a fucking snowball into the goddamn legislature.
Yeah.
And now you're going to act like the next problem is they're going to call it a climate crisis. You fucking brought a snow. Fuck off.
Yeah, it's very strange. But I guess you got to keep the freshness and the like. You got to put a brand new coat of paint and pretend that you haven't had this car forever.
I just feel like somehow I have gotten so much older, and other people have not.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to put a fresh coat of paint. I'm too old for a fresh coat of paint. We've been doing this so many times, you know.
So this is kind of the depressing version of you keep getting older and they stay the same age.
Yes.
Although in hindsight, that's depressing too.
It's very depressing.
Anyway, we have more talk of Burning Man here.
Okay.
Let's talk about what is happening to these people. So there's 75,000 people in Nevada desert right now at this Burning Man. They're locked in. They're not allowed to leave. And they're basically probably being brainwashed that climate change is the cause of all of it.
Well,
it's the root of all evil, and it's going to destroy the earth. And they're feeling the panic and the
media is saying that. Oh, this is because you
probably definitely
change.
Yes. So what's going to happen, Alex? It's the same thing. What's probably going to happen? Same way they launch any kind of movement after this is over in Burning Man, and these 75,000 people disperse and they go back home. They're going to have these stories to tell and how terrible it is and how we have to do everything possible to stop climate change. It's caused by humans and it's carbon.
Okay, so it's like a contagion that's being spread from Burning Man, but the contagion is awareness of climate change.
So that's the plan,
I guess. So
the organizers of Burning Man,
they
got 75,000 people into a desert,
right, and did a satanic ritual,
right,
in order to invoke a flood and tornadoes,
in order to convince them,
brainwash them, mm-hmm,
that climate change is a crisis.
Yes,
and
it's an each one teach one situation.
Sure.
Too,
they go out across the land.
Yeah. So that's how we get climate change. To get people to know about it. All it took was one elaborately plotted disaster at Burning Man, and now all of these hippies will go and tell their hippie friends that climate change is real.
Here's what confuses me. Are you telling me that the fundamental aspect of this plan is the people who organized Burning Man believe that everyone is going to want to listen to people who went to Burning Man?
Ooh, that's a tough hurdle.
Right?
And then... Also, how many people who go to Burning Man don't think climate change is real?
What are you talking about?
I mean, I understand that there's like some tech bros and stuff.
Sure.
There is a diversity of different types of weirdos.
Yeah.
Who like to go to these things. But I think that a lot of them are probably already on board.
Yeah.
With the climate change being a problem.
Yeah. I mean... Well, considering the festival has been going on for a long time.
Since 86.
It's been held inside of a desert.
Yep.
I think over time, they have experienced the climate crisis in a way that perhaps one flood isn't going to do.
I mean, if it's your 30th year there, maybe.
Yeah. It used to be not as hot. I remember it being less hot.
I remember it not being a pool.
Yeah. Weird.
So, Biden... He wouldn't go to any of these disaster places. East Palestine, Burning Man, okay. Hawaii. He wouldn't go to any of these places.
Okay. All right.
Their livelihoods are gone. Their homes are gone. But yet he hasn't gone to visit East Palestine. He hasn't gone to the border. But you better bet he's been over to Ukraine to see Zelensky countless times. And he set his ass on the beach in Delaware I don't know how many times.
I think at 44% of the time he's on vacation.
A desirable
that's a lot of vacation
beach
time.
In Delaware.
You know, if you work Monday through Friday, that's about 26. That gives you about 26% of the year vacation time. Think about that. If you work Monday through Friday all year long, then you Saturday and Sunday is vacation, so that's about 26% of the year. But Joe Biden has spent over 44%.
44%, yeah.
It's incredible. Well, he's also he's too old to serve.
Listen up. We just celebrated Labor Day on Monday, so let me explain to Marjorie Taylor Greene that weekends are not vacation.
Jesus Christ.
Wow. That's only that's something that you know, someone who's completely disconnected from the reality of working could possibly think or say. Like, she's a fucking asshole.
Yeah, shut up.
26% of the year is vacation because of the weekend. Yeah. That's it. That's offensive.
Yeah. Especially the way most bosses work now, where it's like, your weekend is not a text-free zone.
Right.
You know?
You may still be doing some work during your vacation.
Yeah, your really nice vacation.
So Biden does spend about 40% of his time, quote, on vacation, which is a bit of a slippery term when you're talking about elected officials like presidents. Regardless, this is about the same amount of time that Trump spent on vacation during his term in office, and Alex doesn't seem to know or care about that. But here's the difference. When Biden goes on vacation, that often just means he's at home in Delaware, where he has his home. With Trump, him being on vacation meant that he was at Mar-a-Lago, where his status as president led to his own enrichment and was publicity for his club. People knew that if you were a member and went to Mar-a-Lago, you might be able to talk to the president in the dinner room.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Beyond that, his business made money from putting up the Secret Service folks assigned to him, among other government-related expenses. Trump was actively making money off taking vacations, whereas Biden is maybe just taking too much time off. Whatever. I think I agree that Biden is too old to be president, though.
Yeah.
I want to avoid being ageist about this, but I think he might be too old. Biden is 80, whereas Trump is 77. So if Marjorie Taylor Greene thinks Biden's too old, then I'd love to hear her argue like how those 3 years are the pivotal difference.
That's when the brain changes.
Okay.
For good.
Interesting.
I mean, yeah.
Well, that means we're going to have a rough last year of Trump's second term, right?
I've heard every single president I've been alive for has at one point in time been called somebody who's taking the vacations too much.
Yeah, it always happens.
W went to
that's part of the reason that, you know, like, it's a slippery term.
Yep.
You know, it's not like Alex going on vacation to like a resort.
No.
That's not the vacations they're taking. It's like time out of the White House.
Yeah, I mean, there's no such thing. The thing about the job of president, job-wise, is you are never not working. You can be other places, you are always the president.
You're never not working because it is a status of being.
There will always be somebody who has a question for you or a thing that you need to do for them.
You're never not working, but simultaneously, there isn't always something for you to do.
Right. It's not like I have to go run now, but there will always be, I've got to be on a phone
or
call.
You know, you're not in accounts receivable and you got to find payments and stuff.
Right.
You know? So you get one last clip, and it's Marjorie Taylor Greene saying that there's a war on the horizon.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
All right.
So what's the bigger 30,000-foot view?
The 30,000-foot view is war is an option for the Democrats to win the election.
Insane.
Because they think it'll rally the people.
So you're saying what's coming next, and I agree with you, Tucker said it's war, expanded war.
Absolutely. I see war. I see war because I introduce amendment after amendment on the House floor, and I cannot get my amendments passed to stop F-16s, to stop funding to go to Ukraine.
Yeah, maybe your amendments suck. Maybe they're just bad. Maybe people don't like you.
Okay. So sometimes there's something called the tyranny of the majority.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you are an unpopular piece of shit.
True. Yeah. And maybe that's hurting your ability to get these amendments.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know. I listen to this episode and it's just grim. You know, you have Marjorie Taylor Greene saying that, you know, you got, people being brainwashed to go and tell their friends about climate change when they get home from Burning Man. War is on the horizon. It's definitely going to happen. Alex is talking about how Biden and Trump are both going to get killed by fake Nazis. It's just, it's a mess.
And just think about how stupid you have to be. Truly stupid. Truly and deeply stupid to think, well, I can't get my amendments passed in the government, so I guess we're probably going to war.
It must be.
Not like, perhaps I should talk to people.
Right.
Well, perhaps I should garner some sort of support within a elected body, and then I will be able to use that support to get my amendments passed. No. Aha. People don't like me because I'm a dick, and because I'm a dick, they won't pass my amendments, so I'm going to go to fucking war.
Well, and, like, your amendment being like, hey, let's stop all aid to Ukraine.
Yeah.
That doesn't, like, opposition to that amendment does not translate to support for a broader war. And she's failing to recognize that.
I feel that people are not taking my amendment to kill all puppies seriously right now.
Mm.
Nobody is passing. Nobody's going to co-sign on this. Nobody.
Mm.
Nobody?
Well, I mean, like, if you think about it, Ron Paul wanted to end OSHA. He wanted to get rid of OSHA.
Yeah.
And people wouldn't sign on for that because they wanted to make workplaces too safe.
Yeah.
They wanted to go overboard.
That is
the safe work environment.
That is always a fun one. Whatever you get real. That, I mean, back in the day, it was more fun because they would just target some random government institution that you probably hadn't even heard of.
Uh-huh.
And then they'd be like, we got to get rid of it. And you'd be like, yeah, totally. And then you'd read up and it'd be like, oh, it just keeps you breathing. It allows you to. This is the only thing they do is keep people breathing.
Yeah.
And that guy wants to
fuck the EPA.
And that guy wants to end breathing. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. This guy's nuts.
Well, and I think that like a lot of the stuff back then made more sense. Because it's like, ah, yes, you want to get rid of these things that directly impede business owners.
Yeah.
Haha. That makes sense. I oppose that.
Yes.
We disagree on this. And now Alex is like, these Nazis are fake and they're planning to kill everybody and everybody's a pedophile and they worship the devil.
Yeah.
I can't do anything with that.
Oh, man. Yeah, I think it is the, and I find this bananas to think of, but I would say right around the turn of the millennium, everybody began to lose their minds in a way that is never going to return.
Y2K.
I mean, it's kind of very, like,
what
you
is
have,
the brain but a computer?
You have,
we had it wrong the whole time. It wasn't the computers that were going to screw up on Y2K. It was our brains.
Right, but I mean, the Columbine 9/11 in 2 year span.
Columbine was before 2000, though.
Yeah, it was 99.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. 99 to 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Those are probably the two events that have dominated our lives, I would say, because the twin school shootings and the Iraq War have been my entire adulthood, really.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, and so many of the other things are kind of like
reactions to those two things, you know,
or adjacent,
yeah,
you know, related
yeah, yeah.
to it.
Yeah.
yeah,
and then the way that the GOP has molded itself has been entirely around those two things. It's and I mean the one thing, guns. It's guns.
It's a lot of it.
It's guns.
Well, we'll be back.
Sorry.
Lost in thought, staring into the middle
yeah,
distance.
I was going to say, that was...
yeah, we'll be back. Probably talking about Enrique Tarrio. Maybe his appearance on InfoWars from prison. Mm. A lot of prison guests.
We'll see.
That's when you know your show is either really great or it's going real bad, when you have a bunch of guests from prison.
I think we're headed the Geraldo prison kind of route, as opposed to the... I think we're going to find out that when we open the safe, there's nothing in there.
I just recently, in preparing episodes for the UK trip and
yeah.
such, this isn't something we're going to cover, so I can bring
Reveal
it up.
It.
But I found an interview that Alex did with Geraldo back in like 2010.
Jesus.
Not fun.
Ooh.
Geraldo is laughing at him for a good bit of it,
wow,
though.
I can't and stand Alex to see him smile.
Alex does not take that kind of
that I believe.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, we'll be back. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep, we're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight.
Yep, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo, I'm Leo, I'm DZX Clark.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.